Well, when people look at me, one of the first things they tend to notice is my height. And this wasn't always something I was particularly happy about, especially during those awkward teen years. There was a time that my mother, who's also a tall woman, would do all she could to encourage me to stand up straight. "Don't slump," she'd urge me, and she'd push her knuckle into the small of my back. "Stand tall." Well, I like my height now, but being tall doesn't mean that I don't also feel small sometimes. Our insides don't always match our outsides. Internal dialogue and perception also spills into how we show up in the world and how we love God and our neighbor. And it can be easy to feel inconsequential when daunting problems come along. We can list what our world is facing, what our country is facing, and ask ourselves, how can my vote count in our democracy? How can bringing in one canned good on a Sunday morning or a blanket for someone who needs it really mean that much? But the answer is yes. They make a difference. But more on that later. Some of us have a larger influence to help heal this earth and its inhabitants, doing the hard and nuanced work of policy setting and research and writing on the climate or the immigration crises. And we have folk like that right here at St. Mark's, and our own vestry is providing leadership around affordable housing. These are big things. But others of us might believe our impact and our lives are small, maybe more like the size of a seed, a grain of wheat. The metaphor of the seed is my focus today because it can deepen our understanding both of ourselves and what leads to change, and the narrative and impact of Jesus. Now, in today's reading of the Gospel of John, we hear a small segment of a much, much larger story, a huge story. Big things have already happened at the point we are at right now in John's Gospel. Lazarus has been raised from the dead. And can you imagine how that news spread through the community? The attention on Jesus was more intense than ever. Raising Lazarus from the dead was no small act. Who could have done this but the Messiah? In the Gospel of John, the divinity of Christ is emphasized again and again. More than any of the other Gospels, this is the Gospel that explores Jesus' divine origin and nature. And from the beginning, the Gospel of John establishes Jesus as the location of God's presence, the one way and the one truth. Now, the crowds at this point were getting intensely big. Even the Pharisees said, "Look, the whole world has gone after him." All eyes were on Jesus. So how do we make sense of what he was about to endure? Well, Jesus uses a small and concrete agrarian analogy. He says, "Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." Well, we are city dwellers, most of us, and while many of us may be bread bakers, I don't think we have much involvement in the production of wheat. And this was a vital grain, but for us, perhaps a little more abstract. This small grain meant life for the majority of Middle Eastern inhabitants who lived at a subsistence level, and it's still a predominant grain. Now, please don't give me credit for researching this, but if ChatGTP is right, it takes about 15,000 to 17,000 individual grains of wheat to produce 1 pound of flour, and it takes about a pound of flour to make a loaf of bread. So each of these kernels, though seemingly small, counts. Each of these seeds also leads to a plant that can produce dozens more. So Jesus is using the grain as a metaphor for what is to come. He will fall to the earth and die. But this death will also bear fruit. We all know the rest of the story, but the disciples couldn't have. We know that resurrection is coming. The kingdom of God is coming. The restoration of all created things is coming. But we are part of that scheme. You and I are part of bringing the kingdom to earth, even when we do small things like bringing a can of soup to church or giving a pair of clean socks to someone who needs them. But this single grain falls from a slender stalk. It falls to the dark earth. It looks completely done, inert and final and latent. We are in a somber time in the church calendar right now. It's coming to a close, but let's not rush it. New life, new fruitfulness is coming, but we're not there yet. Let's pay attention to this dark earthiness, because it will lead to change in ourselves. This is what Lent helps us to do. Now, I'm sure you've noticed that the cathedral, it looks a little different right now. There's a simple cross, a simple gospel book, the precious medals have been replaced, and there's other changes too. You see a lot of purple, I think. The screen behind the altar is closed. Our prayers, our scripture readings, and our music, they all point to this time of seriousness. All signs are that Jesus is on his way to the cross. And we're doing it together, planted like tiny seeds in this nourishing community. Prayer and scripture and sacraments, like the Eucharist, are all good soil that surround us and change us on the inside over time. They break open our resistant outer husks to love God and love the world that needs us. Holy Week is around the corner, and what a week it is. But for now, we are in a compact time of seriousness and focus. We call them liturgical seasons in the church calendar, and this references the natural rhythm of our world. It's very intentional. We all are measuring time together. The church calendar is designed to prepare us for what we long for. We long to follow and serve a God who knows the uttermost depth of lived human experience, and soon his arms of love will stretch out on the hard wood of the cross so that everyone might become within the reach of his saving embrace. You may have heard of the theologian, podcaster, and author Kate Bowler. And she writes her own Beatitudes, and I'd like to read one for you. Blessed are we at the point of utter stillness that becomes an empty space for that voice to echo and build and resound until it becomes a place to rest and receive and be made whole. Lent is a journey. It's a time of fragility and, yes, grief and, yes, an empty space. This text from the Gospel of John is where we can know and understand the space that we are in now, one where the stalk dies and the seed is released to earth to begin a metamorphosis. For Jesus, the path of life begins with death. And this may feel too difficult to hold, and it probably should. Joy is coming. Renewal is coming. The resurrection is only a few short weeks away. This is the way of life and peace and purpose. A university president I once worked for, Phil Eaton, says this about Lent. When the darkness looms heavy, that's when love comes to conquer, even in the thick of fear and sorrow. That's when we can know joy once again. But first, the cross. An introspection about our own place in this world. What will happen in this time of stillness and repose? What small seed of joy and purpose might start to stir?